I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. It's Thursday, and that means sports is back on the table. And here to drive that subject, as always, is our very own Tony Cox. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Farai. You know, it's been a pretty dramatic week for pro football and basketball fans. So here to help us sort through the aftermath of Super Sunday's big game and a couple of blockbuster trades in the NBA is Greg Lee. He is the online editor for the Boston Globe. Out of New York, we have Justin Grant. Justin writes for AlphaBlogSports.com. And Jamel Hill is in Florida. She writes for ESPN.com. Hey, everybody.
Hey, how you doing?
Let's start with this. In the tri-state area, Justin, everywhere a member of the New York Giants shows up in public, people stand and cheer. They're loving this. These guys will never have to buy another drink, will they?
Well, I don't know about that, Tony. People have short memories around here. This is a pretty tough place to win. And I guarantee you next year, if Eli has another four-interception game like he did against the Minnesota Vikings in November, they'll be calling for his head again.
That's the exact question, as a matter of fact, Jamel, I was going to put to you about where does he stand, because he did have that great big play in the fourth quarter that led to the, let's call it the helmet catch by David Tyree, the wide receiver, and he won the game's MVP award. But, you know, some of his teammates did throw him under the bus this year. Like Justin said, if he doesn't do well, will they throw him under the bus again next year?
No, I don't think so. I mean, at least they won't. I mean, I think he'd have to play pretty poorly for that to happen. But I think Eli has kind of turned the corner. He got a huge monkey off his back, if you will, because I think he needed the confidence to be able to sort of prove to himself that he could play at the level that he played at in the playoffs. And I think he's sort of learned how not to make mistakes. I mean, I'm not sure if he is as talented as his brother in terms of being a pure thrower, but I think he's got some guts, and I think he'll play a lot differently during the regular season than he did this year.
So, Greg, let's go up the coast a little bit to you, talk about a rivalry. I guess it's officially grown now, New York versus Boston, in baseball, now in football. Let's forget about basketball. That's not going to happen. But here's the question. New England fans have had a few days to digest the loss. How are the folks handling it up there, and just how big an upset do the New Englanders think this was?
Well, Tony, I remember watching the game with a friend, and there was a lot of New England fans in downstairs in this big hall watching the game. And there was a lot of noise, hoopla, and what have you. And after the game, it was a stone silence, crickets. It was just very stunned that everyone thought the Patriots had this game in the bag. It was just a matter of time for the Patriots to have the coronation, get ready for the fourth parade. It was just stunned. It was just shocking to see that Tom Brady's offense could not muster up more than 14 points, and that was just a shocker that the team didn't adjust to what the Giants were doing to them.
Let me follow up with this. What about Spygate? Of course, we're talking about the accusations that the Patriots stole signals and videotaped practices of opposing teams going all the way back to 2002 when they beat the Rams in the Super Bowl. Congress is getting into the act now, Greg, with Senator Arlen Specter looking for answers. What do you think is going to come of this?
Well, I think Roger Goodell is going to try to, he's going to talk to the former video photographer Matt Walsh, who is in Hawaii right now working as a club pro, to try to get testimony from him about what his involvement was with the Patriots back in 2001 with regards to that Rams investigation. I think Roger Goodell is going to cooperate with Congress and try to figure out what really went down with Spygate. I think the whole Spygate thing really wore down on the Patriots. And I think just the whole, not only did try to pursue perfection, I think Spygate, Rodney Harrison, remember, had the HGA suspension early in the year. I think a lot of things, just a culmination. I think the team was just worn down mentally. And I think that showed on the last month of the season for the Patriots.
Hey, Justin,
let me just say that I think that Congress involvement in Spygate is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my professional sports.
And why do you say that? Why do you say that?
I think it's stupid, because what does that got to do with anything going on in this country? I mean, steroids I can understand, but you mean to tell me that Arlen Specter is so he's so greedy for some headlines that he's going to look into whether or not a team is stealing signals? I mean, that's just dumb. I mean, the next thing you know, they're going to be looking into what kind of playbooks people are using. How could the American people possibly benefit from Congress being involved in this?
Well,
I don't understand, like, why, everybody steals signals to some degree in football.
It's part of sports.
I, in all sports, really. I mean, Greg is absolutely right. And so I just don't understand what this has to do with anything. And if I'm Matt Walsh, I wouldn't even talk to these people. For what? Roger Goodell has no subpoena power.
Isn't sports big business? And when you have big business and how one franchise can win over another, there's millions of dollars at stake. Isn't that reason enough to look into it?
But this is not, it's not like this is some epidemic. It's not like it has any impact on the youth. This has nothing to do with anything in our everyday lives. I mean, no. Armin Spector has nothing else to do with his time to worry about whether Bill Belichick is still a signals. What, did he have money on the game in 99? Is that what happened? I mean, it just boggles my mind that a senator with his credentials would even care about this. And it's a huge abuse of power, in my opinion.
All right, let's move on to one more topic about the Super Bowl before we move on to talk about the NBA. The Giants, Justin, are not favored to repeat, according to the odds makers in Las Vegas. It's not even close at the moment. And in fact, the Patriots are said to have a better chance next year with or without Randy Moss, who may or may not return to New England. You buying any of that?
I'm not too sure about that. This is a copycat league. The Giants and I think the Baltimore Ravens this year showed, or they gave the blueprint on how to slow this team down. Pester Tom Brady, get in his face, knock him down a little bit, prevent the team from going over the top downfield, try to limit this team to the underneath stuff and prevent the big play. I'm not too sure that I would bet on the Patriots duplicating what they did this year, next year, at least advancing to the Super Bowl. And I definitely don't believe they'll win their first 18 games or threaten to have the perfect record.
All right, bye-bye NFL. Hello, NBA. The season is really moving along at college and pro, actually, in basketball. But the NBA is the focus this week, with apologies, of course, to North Carolina and Duke fans after their game last night. But the trade winds blew from L.A. to Memphis and from Miami back to Phoenix. 7-foot all-star Paul Gasol was shipped from the Grizz to the Lakers, which the whole league is calling a steal. Now Shaq has been sent from the Heat to the Suns in what the league is calling, well, what is the league saying about that, Jamel?
Well, I think people are very curious to see how the Shaq experiment works out, just because based off what we've seen from him probably the last couple seasons, he seems to be a player in serious decline. The Phoenix is a team that likes to run and gun quite a bit, and so I think people are wondering whether or not his kind of plotting style can fit in with what the Phoenix Suns do. And I'm wondering myself. However, I think people are maybe overestimating Shaq's demise a little bit. I think he will be able to help that team as long as he goes there, plays defense, rebounds, and really it's just a question of health, because I think Phoenix sort of is looking at the landscape in the West and thinking, well, you know, we've tried to outscore people by winning. Maybe it's time that we have more of a half-court approach. So if he's healthy, I think he can definitely help them. Nevertheless, I still think the Lakers probably made the smarter move by getting Paul Gasol.
What do you say about the Gasol move, Justin?
Well, the Gasol move definitely puts the Lakers, I think, in the driver's seat towards getting out of the West. I would call them the team to beat. And when looking at the Phoenix Suns trade, I think this is a knee-jerk reaction by Suns GM Steve Kerr. Clearly, he was looking at the front line that the Lakers were going to come with the 6'10" Lamar Odom, the 7-foot Paul Gasol, and if he returns, the 7-foot-plus Andrew Bynum. So I definitely think there was some concern on his part. And also, I think Jamel alluded to this. If Shaq can stay healthy, this is the big key here. If Shaq can stay healthy, I can envision him grabbing rebounds on a defensive end, kickstarting the break, and perhaps even benefiting the team with his passing abilities out of the half-court sets. But the big question here is going to be, how healthy is he? He's already missed 14 games this year with a hip problem.
And he's perhaps out right
Steve
now, too.
Perhaps Steve Kerr knows something that none of us know, but this really is a head-scratcher for me.
Greg Lee, the Celtics are the favorites in the East to make it to the championship this year, Detroit notwithstanding. But with Garnett sidelined, lately they haven't looked so unbeatable. Just ask Cleveland, who dropped them the other night in triple overtime. Do you see a return of the Celtics-Lakers rivalry for the NBA crown this year? Do you realize it's been almost 20 years since Bird and Magic did their thing against each other?
If they do make me either. Can they wear short shorts like back in the day? Real good flashback.
Please don't do that. Please don't do that.
I don't know if anybody wants to see that.
I don't want to see that.
No, but really, last week the Celtics showed me, without Kevin Garnett, beating the Dallas Mavericks at home, showed me that I think they can, you know, make it, you know, through the East. I still think Detroit will be a formidable opponent, and it'll be a great seven-game series. So I'm definitely not counting out Detroit. I think it's Detroit and Boston. But if Kevin Garnett stays healthy, and I still believe the Celtics still need to get a backup point guard to help out Rondo down, you know, for the veteran point guard leadership in a tight game when they need someone, and they're trying to get Sam Cassell. They need someone down the stretch to really help the team, you know, get to that next level and to guard people like Chauncey Billups, you know, and try to, you know, stop him down the stretch. You know, as we know, Chauncey Billups, Mr. Big Shot, in the fourth quarter when the game's online, he's going to get the ball and he's going to take care of the Pistons. So the Celtics need something to counter that.
All right, last topic. You want to say something, Jermaine?
If anything, I mean, I think Kevin Garnett, him being out and seeing how the Celtics has struggled, it probably improves his MVP chances because I think you see what that team is like when he's not there.
I don't think he wants that. He wants a ring. Don't you think? He wants a ring. All right, last topic is this, in the few moments that we do have. This was a big sports week, obviously, but it was also a big week in politics. And I bring that up because politics is the one area where you rarely see athletes involved, publicly at least, black athletes. This primary season, we have had a couple of sports legends give endorsements, Magic Johnson for Hillary Clinton, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for Barack Obama. But unless I've missed it, no other high-profile athletes are putting their names and influence out there, politically speaking. Justin, with you first, why is that?
Well, I think they've probably taken cues from what Michael Jordan did back in 1990. If you remember, Harvey Gantt, a black candidate, was running for a Senate seat against a former segregationist he's running against, and Michael Jordan refused to endorse him. He famously remarked, "Republicans buy sneakers too." So I definitely think it's, you know, these athletes have corporate interests, and they do not want to jeopardize that by endorsing a candidate and perhaps alienating some of their constituencies. Also, last year, Ira Noble of the Cavaliers drafted an open letter to the Chinese government condemning them for their role in the ongoing genocide in Darfur. Now, everybody on that team signed that letter except for Damon Jones and LeBron James.
And
remember, LeBron has a $90 million deal with Nike, who has huge business interests in China. So, you know, this is the world we live in.
I think it's kind of sad, personally, because, you know, I think athletes, at the very least, should be involved in the political process to encourage young folks to vote. And to me, it really says something, I think, very condemning about their interests, about their where their hearts lie by not getting involved. Because at the very least, they should be encouraging people to vote. They don't have to encourage them to vote Republican. They don't have to encourage them to vote Democrat, but encourage them to be a part of the political process. And it's really sad because you see that money has desensitized them from speaking up. And, you know, If LeBron James came out and endorsed Barack Obama, nothing would happen to him. Nothing at all. I mean,
nothing at all.
It'd
be fashionable to vote for Obama.
It's amazing that nothing has happened. I don't know if that is going to change, but it's a topic I think that it's worth revisiting. You agree that we should talk about this again?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, but I wouldn't just blame black athletes. I don't see athletes of any race really coming out and endorsing candidates. In fact, the only current athlete I can remember recently to endorse a candidate was Curt Schilling endorsing President Bush in his run in 2004. So I can't really just put the onus on black athletes.
It's not just on the black athletes.
Yeah,
right.
I can't do that.
I'll take that. Greg Lee is online editor for the Boston Globe. Jamel Hill writing for ESPN.com. And Justin Grant blogs for AlphaBlogSports.com. Everybody, thank you very much.
That was NPR's Tony Cox.